And now, from the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. Let's start off with some great news for people looking for a top-level dining experience in the Okanagan. Time Winery in downtown Penticton. It's an urban winery. They have just relaunched their new restaurant, Arolo Restaurant. Arolo is... time is all about time in orology, so that word Arolo is makes sense in the winery. Great new spot, inside and out. Fine choice of different foods and wines. Just a perfect place to stop in downtown Penticton. Liquidity in Okanagan Falls are excited to welcome Chef Josh Mueller. He was born in Europe, trained as a Michelin star chef, and his resume includes stops at Bajas, Relais and Chateau, Bacchus, the Terrace at Mission Hill. And they're reopening on the weekend of Saturday, April 22nd, and Sunday, April 23rd at Liquidity Winery. So that's exciting for people in Okanagan Falls. Further north on the Naramata Bench, the Kitchen at Da Silva reopens May 1, one of our favorite spots to be on that balcony, having really a sort of a rustic wine and food cuisine there. It's just a fantastic spot to spend time. The Bistro at Hillside Restaurant is back open Wednesdays and Sundays on the Naramata Bench. The Modest Butcher, of course, at Mount Bushery is open 7 days a week. And at Hester Creek on the Golden Mile Bench, Terrafina is now open daily for dinner at 5 p.m. and open for lunch Wednesdays through Sunday, 11:30 to 4 p.m. A lot of choices there for you when you're traveling in BC wine country. Okay, on the show today, Dave Mann joins us to talk about golf and wine in Kamloops. Harry Hertzog with a final update on ticket sales and what's going on at the 44th Vancouver National Wine Festival. Derek Gray, Road 14 restaurant chef, talks turkey with us. But up next, winemaker Ryan DeWitt from Rust Wine Co. on the Golden Mile Bench talks about making four different Syrahs and Zinfandel as well. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Uncork the latest of our province's wine this month at Save on Foods, home to more than 1,300 BC VQA wines. With Canada's largest selection growing every day, you'll find new wines from new wineries arriving all the time. Spring is the time of new beginnings, so celebrate with the latest in high-quality vintages from the best growers and winemakers BC has to offer. Wines of British Columbia at Save on Foods, with 22 wine stores across BC. Find yours at saveonfoods.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Discover the good life right in your own backyard. Destination? The Watermark Beach Resort in beautiful Osuyoos. Featuring spectacular views of Osuyoos Lake, walking distance to shops, plus dining at the Watermark's very own 15 Park Bistro. And make sure to book your spring and summer travel now to avoid disappointment at the South Okanagan Resort that defines easy living. Visit watermarkbeachresort.com for full details and keep up to date on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Penticton may be renowned for great wine, but they're also a craft beer paradise. Get to know the Penticton beer scene at the Okanagan Festival, April 14th and 15th at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center. The Okanagan Festival has been bringing together craft beer lovers and craft brewers to celebrate ales, lagers, ciders, and more since 1996. Enjoy one of the largest and longest running annual beer festivals in the Pacific Northwest. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after four decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GizmondiumWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine. So why not give us a go at GizmondiumWine.com?
From the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gizmondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back with a special shout-out to Bounce Radio listeners in Salmon Arm and all 19 other cities across the province. Our guest and a first-time guest is Ryan DeWitt. He's the winemaker for Rust Wine Company on the Golden Mile Bench. Ryan, how are you today?
I am just wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to talk with you. I know that you've been in BC more than 4 years now, so it's time we did catch up. So let's start with where you are, because you're on the Golden Mile Bench. Can you explain where you are? Because it's not so obvious when you're driving by on Highway 97.
Yeah, that's right. It's the address is 4444 Golden Mile Drive. We're the southernmost winery on the Golden Mile Bench.
Okay.
And we're just past Gadzook, which is the new place that has taken over the Yench facility. It's a very unmistakable building. We do our best to keep our signage up off the highway, but it's, it can be a little bit difficult to find. But I like to think that we're worth seeking out. So,
yeah. And for people who don't know, you turn up the hillside and drive up to get up.
That's right, yeah.
It's almost like a hidden second valley in some ways, but
yeah, it's
lovely.
Pretty amazing.
So, Ryan, you came out of Ontario. You were at, I believe, Leaning Post for a while.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, Leaning Post had such
so
a...
So I spent...
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I spent quite a bit of time there. When I was going to Niagara College to do winemaking and viticulture, I volunteered at Leaning Post. I'd had the wines before, and I loved them, but they didn't really, they made 800 cases then, and it wasn't really big enough for them to hire anybody. So I worked for free. I worked in the tasting room. I bothered them, and I just kept on them. So finally, when they needed somebody to work full time, I was hired, and I spent, you know, probably 6 years in total, the first couple of years working on and off for them, and then the following four full time.
Wow.
And I still love the Senchucks immensely. They're we talk quite regularly, and Ilya is really a mentor of mine. We really drilled down into various terroirs of Riesling, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, and I'm hoping to kind of take what I've learned there and tweak it for BC.
Yeah. Which is exactly my next question. So you've been around now in BC for a while, and are you comfortable with the site? What do you know about the site now that maybe you didn't know or makes you enthusiastic about it?
Oh, man, I wish I knew more. But, yeah, so the whole project kind of started. For some background, we do single vineyard varietal wines with the exception of our top tier wine called Solus, which is a rolling fermented wine from all of our grapes on site.
Okay.
And so really what we're about is taking the grape variety and like drilling down into the terroir. When I started, the idea was, okay, let's make all these wines exactly the same and we'll let the terroir really show up. And sort of what's happened after the first year of doing that is doing them all the same really wasn't doing the site justice.
Uh-huh.
So the first vintage specifically of our Lost Horn Vineyard Syrah, it's kind of a big, burly Syrah, and I'm not really sure that showed the wine off best. So we started tweaking the winemaking on that one and all the other ones, and I think that really, really helped out a lot.
Our guest is Ryan DeWitt. He's the winemaker at Rust Wine Company. Ryan, so tweaking, let's talk about these four Syrahs, but, you know, we have to get them all in so quickly. What are some of the differences in the winemaking between the four of them and the regions they come from?
Yeah, so the one from Okanagan Falls, like I was saying, is the one that we've probably tweaked the most. We went from totally destemming that to being 50% and then 100% whole cluster grapes. So to rein in that big tannin, that fruit, make it a little bit more medium bodied and a little bit more aromatic. All the other Syrahs go through at least 25% whole cluster grapes instead of being 100% destemmed.
Yep.
The yeasts are changed. So I used a cultivated yeast early on, and now they use a spontaneous culture that I develop in my office. And then in addition to that, we do a lot less new barrel aging. So as of 2021, there's yep. no new oak.
Yeah. And that's sort of the oak. You're getting the oak out of the way, like you're getting the oxygen exchange, but you're not getting all those big wood tannins and vanilla stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. I think it really just, you know, Syrah's a really aromatic grape. I'm not sure we need to slather it with vanilla.
Yeah. What do you think about Syrah just in general? BC Syrah, it's quite special. There seems to be something, there's some adaptation for that variety in BC, especially in the south.
Yeah, I think it's sunshine partially. I think it needs a lot of sunshine. You know, years ago I went to Tan L'Hermitage and saw the North Rhone terroir, and years ago I fell in love with those wines, with Hermitage, with Carnasse, with Crow's Hermitage. I just love them. Côte Rôti, if I can afford it, I drink it.
Yeah.
and I just have a passion for the grape. I think we overlook how aromatic it can be, like I was saying. You know, like we need to be a little bit lighter touched with it. I find that the biggest thing that we have here that's tied to the sunshine is that we get phenolic ripeness. We get riper grapes earlier than we might otherwise. So because of that sunshine, I think we're getting riper skins. And so we actually can get very aromatic, beautiful wines at a lower sugar concentration than a lot of other places.
Our guest is Ryan DeWitt. He's the winemaker at Rust Wine Company, or Co., and we've been talking about Syrah, but I want to talk about a grape we don't know much about in BC, Zinfandel, because you make one. What is the story there, and how successful are you?
If you'd have asked me 5 years ago that I would be making Zinfandel, I would have called you a liar.
I wouldn't have asked
really
you.
Was a favorite of mine. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
But, you know, like, I cannot argue with the grape and where it's planted. Mm. It consistently has surprised me. When I came out for my interview, it was the most balanced wine that we had in the cellar. The acids were spot on. Alcohol was in control. It was nice and spicy and plummy. It was very, very Zinfandel. And truthfully, I consider myself very lucky to make it. It's really, really unique. And it's really, really does whatever it wants. You know, it's the easiest wine, I think, for me to make.
Nice. Ryan, we got a couple minutes to go. I want to talk a bit about visiting now, the tasting room, what the setup is. What can people expect when they come to visit Rust Wine?
Yeah, so we open to the public 7 days a week on April 1st from 11 to 5. We always greet our guests with a glass of Gewürztraminer from our oldest block of vines. They were planted in 1972.
Oh, I like that.
And we've been making that wine every year since we've opened. It's really, really a great grape for that spot as well. It's very expressive. Mm-hmm. So everybody that shows up right away, they get out of their car, they approach the door, they get a glass of Gewürztraminer. We want to lower the apprehension of customers coming. You know, a lot of people think we're a stuffy and pretentious industry. We kind of want to throw that out the window. We don't charge for tasting, so if anybody wants to show up, come and try our wines.
They are
free to taste.
Nice. And now you've restored, or there's an old house on the property. It's known as the Tokyos Heritage House. That's available for people to stay at.
That's right, yeah. So there's two suites in the house. It's been totally gutted and redone. It's a little bit kind of rustic on the exterior. It has a living roof, but the inside is beautiful and totally updated. It has some of the most beautiful views in the valley. You look south over the lake and the vineyards. It's a really special place.
Wow, and at the moment, for our listeners, if you sign up for the Rust e-newsletter, you... We'll have your name in a draw for a gift pack, and the total value is $1,200, including a stay at the Tokyo's Heritage House. So that's a pretty good deal, there, and there's no cost to sign up. You can do that directly online.
Yeah, it's pretty cool thing to have going. We'll have a whole bunch of new releases coming as well. There's going to be...
That was my question.
There's going to be a Riesling, which we haven't had for a bunch of years. I think we're going to give Tantalus a fair run for their money.
Wow. That's a big shout out to Patterson. I love it.
He has wonderful wine. I'm always happy to big him up. Really nice guy, and love his wines. But we're making a beautiful Riesling. I think we're going to fight it out and who has the lowest pH. So it's a beautiful, beautiful start to Riesling for us. We've got a new Chardonnay coming out. It's barrel fermented now instead of being stainless steel treatment. So barrel fermented in age, spontaneous fermentation. So no more added yeast for that guy. We've got a beautiful new Franc coming up behind the 21 that's a bit more Chenin-like, a little bit lighter, brighter, fruity. I just shopped it around Victoria and Vancouver, and everybody was super psyched about it.
Okay.
And along with all the four Syrahs that are coming out in the new Zinfandel.
Lots to look at Rust & Co. Ryan, that was a great chat. I'm very happy to catch up with you and hope to see you on site sometime this summer.
That'd be wonderful. Thanks, Anthony.
Well, that was Ryan DeWitt. He's the winemaker at Rust Wine Co. There's still plenty more to come on the show. Up next, we'll talk turkey with Chef Derek Gray from Road 14 Restaurant at Clippers Organic in the Similkameen Valley. On the radio or on demand on all major podcast platforms, this is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate High Altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this spring. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of almost 100 area wineries, many that are reopening after winter hibernation. Enjoy the quieter time of year with an intimate spring wine tasting and a chance to sample some Okanagan vintages. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing spring getaway. Before you go, check the website for information on wine tours and winery events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Farm and Winery. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberfarm.com. Simply great wines.
From the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. Waiting for tonight,
oh, when you would be here in my arms. Waiting for tonight. Hello, British Columbia, and a shout out to all 20 cities across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Chef Derek Gray. He's at Road 14 Restaurant at Clippers Organic in the Similkameen, but we're going to talk about turkey today. Derek, how are you?
I'm great, sir. And yourself?
I'm very well, and I'm happy to chat to you about turkey today because it's so healthy, and we need to know more about it other than I assume people, you know, have it at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, but really, let's talk about turkey all the time. What is so great about turkey? What is the value of eating turkey?
Well, the true value in turkey is like the ability to get more than just one meal out of it. You know, it's not just a Christmas thing or a Thanksgiving thing. It's like I grew up eating, you know, turkey club sandwiches as a kid. And
yeah,
if you focus on, you know, utilizing every part of that bird, you can definitely get quite a bit of meals, feed a family of four over a couple of days for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a chef, but so if we talk about the turkey, are we cooking the whole turkey and then using it all up, or are we cutting it up and using it differently? What's your recommendation?
I would recommend, if you could support farms that, you know, grow whole turkeys, you know, buy a whole turkey, but take your time to learn to butcher it. It's
yeah.
All it is just a really big chicken, if you think about it that way. You know, there's four big primals. You got two breasts and two legs. And as long as you can, there's YouTube there to help with anyone that really needs to get the knife cuts down. But once you get one turkey out of the way, or it can definitely lead into many different meals.
Like yeah.
Taking the breasts off, roasting those for sandwiches, and then the legs can be used to confit and, you know, fry them up or whatever they may be. Super tasty.
Right. So you mentioned whole turkeys. Should people order them through their butcher or at the grocery store, or go out to, how do you find a whole turkey? Where do you get your turkey from?
We get our turkeys from Rossdown. So they have a turkey farm located actually pretty close to our restaurant here in Coston, just next to us in Caramias.
Yeah.
But I would suggest, you know, going down to your local butcher. They have a great repertoire with purveyors and farms that you might be able to get to, or get to know a local turkey farmer around you that you know, they do have sales through their farms, farm gates, and then you can get mm-hmm. turkey straight directly from them as well.
Yeah. Our guest is Chef Derek Gray. He cooks at the Row 14 restaurant at Clippers Organic in the Similkameen Valley. So I'm interested in more about these turkey parts. So you can cut them up yourself, obviously, from a whole turkey. You can also buy them in the store, I would imagine, in the same
exactly.
Shape.
Yeah, you could see them individually packed up as well too. If yeah. you think about it, the ratio of meat to bone compared to what a chicken offers is immense when it comes to turkey.
Yeah, so it's better value.
Oh, much better value, in my opinion. You look at, like, what's the one thought after thing that everyone goes for at, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving? Everyone tries to go for that drumstick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing better than a good roasted drumstick. And you can find those parts at your local supermarket or local butchery as well, too. So,
yeah, you use the term confit. I don't know if people understand how simple it is, but how would you do a confit of a turkey leg?
So what you would do is you need to lightly season it a bit just to get a little bit of that flavor and salt into the turkey itself for maybe the first hour.
Yeah.
And then give it a good rinse. And then there's a few ways to go about it. You can cook them in turkey fat if you have the time and effort to render all the turkey skin to the fat. Or you can also use duck fat or even oil as well, as long as it's fully submerged and then cooked at a low temperature until it basically is fork tender. So take a fork and pull the meat off the bone and it starts to fall apart. You got yourself a really nice confit turkey leg.
Okay, I'm starving already. That sounds so good.
It's so versatile, because from there you could shred it up and put it in tacos, or if you really wanted to be fancy, you could cool it off and then the next day get a pan really hot and simmering and throw that turkey leg down skin side and get it super crispy again, and then kind of tuck in there as well. And then the meat is like super juicy and tender if done really, really well.
Well, it might seem obvious, but even buying ground turkey gives you a lot of possibilities. What are some of the things that you would suggest people could easily cook at home using ground turkey?
A great alternative is turkey meatballs. Awesome.
All right.
You got your turkey burgers, things like that. Like, whatever you can think that beef can do, turkey can do just as well.
Yeah, and maybe a little healthier.
Yeah, exactly. A lot healthier for sure.
What about cooking turkey? Because, you know, we always hear about, you know, the food safety aspect of it, the temperature stuff. What should we need to know about that, about raw turkey?
You still need to treat it like it was chicken. Like, you know, raw meat and any aspect still needs to be handled properly. So just when you're dealing with it at home, make sure you have clean surfaces. you know, clean your surfaces down after you cut, clean your cutting boards, all that stuff, and just make sure that it's cooked to the right temperature.
Yeah. Be safe, folks.
Pay
attention.
You don't want to have an upset stomach the day after or whatever, you know, a big meal with the family. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. While I have you, I mean, people do cook whole turkeys, and there's kind of a myth in the food business that chefs don't know how to cook a whole turkey because they never do.
No. Well, yeah,
how's that for an insult?
You know that, right?
Pardon?
We do have days off, so
okay.
Little special moments getting family by, and need to be not Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Okay.
A little tip that I always like to kind of give people when roasting a whole turkey is leg will tell you when it's done.
Okay.
So what I like to do is a small incision just by the end of the breast near the hip bone. If you cut that open and the juices are running clear, you're looking at a well-cooked turkey.
Okay. That's a great tip because normally I'm trying to get a thermometer in some, usually in the wrong place, and I never get the right temperature sort of thing. So that's a great tip.
And one thing you should watch out for, and this involves with any poultry, especially with turkeys, they have such big breasts, is get butter underneath the skin if you can. Whatever you can, fat-wise, in sense of butter or, you know, turkey fat, really get those breasts saturated so that they don't over-dry because the leg's going to take the longest to cook.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. One thing that we do at the restaurant is it takes a lot of skill, but if you can master it, it can create a lot of meals for your friends and family. Is we do a turchetta. So what we do is you don't debone the whole turkey, leaving all the meat and the skin intact, and then rolling it up like a porchetta, and then roast it in the oven. And it's been a family favorite of ours for, I'd say, probably 5-6 Christmases now. And it's great for leftovers, hot turkey sandwiches, a nice little slice, some gravy, put it on some bread. Delicious.
Derek, how many turkeys would I have to slaughter to be able to learn how to do that?
Well, if you come to the restaurant, I'll show you. Yeah, I'll show you.
Or YouTube it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. YouTube's a chef's personal assistant.
Well, you're in the Semil Kameen. What about wine and turkey? Because to me, I love the savory aspects of the Semil Kameen wine, and often the savory aspects of a roasted turkey. What are your suggestions for wine and turkey?
I like a crisp white wine with my turkey for sure.
Oh, okay.
Something that has some citrus notes that'll cut through some of that fat, which is always nice. Yeah,
like Clos du Soleil Capella or something like that.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
you want something
really
kind
good.
Of like to bite your tongue a bit and kind of refresh your mouth, and you get dive into another slice of turkey is delicious.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners, I would recommend they go to CanadianTurkey.ca and go to the British Columbia section. There's some fantastic ideas there for recipes, turkey cuts, nutrition, all the resources you need if you want to learn more about cooking with turkey, one of the most healthy things you can put in your body. So, Derek, I just want to ask you a couple questions about the restaurant itself, Row 14 Restaurant at Clippers Organic. When are you opening up for the season, and how would you describe the food? Because people say, oh, it's vegetarian, but you do have a different – it's not just vegetarian. Could you explain a bit of that?
So, our season just started. So we're open Thursday nights and then Friday through Sunday for lunch and dinner. I would describe our menu as a balance in a sense of you look at veggies are primarily our focus because we really want to pay homage to what the farmers can showcase off the land that is surrounding us. But we do have protein. We cook over open wood fires. So we do, whole animals from turkey all the way to lambs and pigs. But we just want to make sure that it's a balanced diet. If you look at, a diet from 100 years ago, all the tables were filled with vegetables and then the meat was a side dish. So that's kind of the way I look at our cuisine as well, is the vegetables are the star and then the meat's kind of the... not the afterthought. It's there. It's present. But we really want to showcase the vegetables.
Yeah. And it's super fresh there, so you couldn't have a better meal. Derek, thanks so much.
Yeah.
You are pretty lucky. Yeah, thanks for joining us today. Real pleasure to catch up with you. And I am going to come by and learn a little bit more about turkey from you. I think that would
be
a good thing for me to know. Okay, thanks, Derek.
We'll get an apron on you and get you in the kitchen.
All right. You're on. I'm on for it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was Chef Derek Gray. He's a Row 14 restaurant at Clippers Organics. We've been talking about BC turkey. Folks, CanadianTurkey.ca has everything you need under the British Columbia section. Learn more about turkey. You'll improve your eating habits. Okay, there's plenty more to come. Harry Hertzshake, he's the executive director of the Vancouver National Wine Festival with a final update on what's happening inside the tasting room next month. We're on the radio and we're on all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Your wine collection is your pride and joy. Years of searching and selecting has merited you an enviable list, but it's time to find a new home for some or all of your wine. As the only auction in Canada dedicated to fine wines and spirits, Iron Gate Auctions offers collectors a safe, inexpensive way to liquidate their collections online. They are experts in the field with the knowledge and acumen to maximize the return on your assets. To find out more, visit irongateauctions.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Welcome to The Loops. When you love something, you want to do it again and again. Here in Kamloops, you can do laps on your mountain bike or play another round of golf. And when you're ready, welcoming eateries will gladly bring out budget-friendly second helpings or refills. Later on, you can raise the roof for a melodic encore before tucking into a comfy bed, then waking up to discover something new to do all over again. That's what we mean by Welcome to The Loops. Go to TourismKamloops.com to plan your next road trip to The Loops.
The Inn at Therapy Vineyards invites you to get away for a luxurious retreat experience. Modern rooms overlooking the vineyards and Lake Okanagan set the tone for a relaxing and refreshing stay on the Naramata Bench. Relax on your patio, soak in the hot tub, and enjoy a guided tasting experience in the Therapy Vineyards wine shop. Book your room or order Therapy Vineyards award-winning wines and have them delivered to your door at therapyvineyards.com. Because everyone needs a little therapy.
Don't be shy about picking up the tab during Modest Happy Hour at the Modest Butcher. From 2 to 5 p.m. daily, treat your friends and treat yourself. Featuring wine by the glass from just $5, along with modestly sophisticated cocktails and delectable nibbles. Plus, order a tomahawk steak on a Tuesday and get your first bottle of Reserve Merlot for just $5. That's some seriously modest spending. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See you today.
From the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. We could have had it
all. Hello, British Columbia. In fact, we do have it all when it comes to wine festivals. The Vancouver International Wine Festival, year 44 this year. Really does have it all. One of the very best consumer wine shows in the world because you get to meet the people who make the wine. And that is a rare, rare occasion at most wine tastings. Joining us now is the executive director of the Vancouver National Wine Festival, Harry Hertzshake, for a final update on sales and what's going fast and how you got to get these tickets. Harry, how are you?
I'm great, Anthony. We are a month out. We are a month away from liftoff.
Yeah, that's nice. And the days are longer. Pretty exciting to be tasting in a tasting room with the light outside. All the rest of that makes it kind of fun. What's going on? How are the sales going? And what can you tell us?
Yeah, very well. Last year's festival was in May because we wanted to get away from the kind of winter vibe. And we're at the end of April, the last week. And so we're not quite a full capacity. Last year we did a 50% capacity. We're about 75-80%, so there's still going to be lots of elbow room. Last year we had 27 events. We're going to go to 36 this year. We got 12 sellouts, so we're one-third sold out, two-thirds
wow.
events left. And everything else is about half sold. So we're going to be announcing probably a few sellouts every week for the next 4 weeks.
Well, before we get to the actual individual events, what about the tasting room? How are the tickets looking Thursday, Friday, Saturday? There's usually a pattern there.
Yeah, I always like the fact that Thursday sales are a little slower, but we also cap off capacity, 30% less capacity. So if you want to talk to the wine stars, the principals, the owners, the winemakers, their voices are fresh. They're excited. Thursday evening is the best night to go one-on-one, lots of room, taste the wines. And then, of course, Friday and Saturday nights, a little more of a party vibe. But also a great time and very popular is Saturday afternoon. And I would say those are the kind of shoppers because those are the biggest wine sales on the on-site BC liquor stores on the Saturday afternoon.
Is that right?
So, yes. And
I didn't know that.
One of the great things about the BC Liquor Store, all the wines, any of the wines you taste in the tasting room are available for sale on the on-site store. And the amazing thing, no matter where you live in the province, they will send your wine purchases to your local store anywhere in the province free of charge. I love that.
Yeah, they will. And I guess one other note on that is that it seems to me that over the years there's more and more wines at the festival that aren't normally sold in government stores. They're actually here on trial at the festival, so you get a chance to buy a lot of wines that you just won't see at in the market at the moment.
One of the things I like to do when I go in the tasting room is go straight to the on-site liquor store,
yep,
check out all the labels. You get a visual sense of the wine in the room, but you also get to see all the blue dots. Any wine that is new to the market, not listed, is a blue dotted wine. Those are the wines you want to taste and you want to purchase, and it's true. It seems to be proportionately more than 50% of the wines are not the regular wines in liquor store. And I guess we have this hybrid system where 50% of sales are in private stores and restaurants.
Our guest is Harry Herzig. He's the executive director of the Van Wine Fest. Harry, I know you don't need anything else to do, but talking about this, I just had this great idea. Why not scan through the store with a video camera and then put up some screens, and when we're standing in line to get into the room, you just roll this down the rows and people can see all the wine in the stores and get a look at the labels and what's happening inside the room. That would be pretty entertaining, I think, and not that hard to do.
We'll look into
it. There you
it.
Go.
It might go on TikTok or we'll figure something out.
It'll go,
kind of like whet the appetite, right?
Yeah, exactly. You get a whole look at every wine before you go in it, just as you're standing outside. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some of
one more thing about the blue dot. And we were talking about we're going to talk about Vine Stars. Is one of the things I also like about the store is that the principals, the winemakers, will sign a lot of bottles, and I think that's a really cool thing where you can purchase no extra charge a signed bottle from the winemaker.
Yeah, that's great. I have a few of those in my cellar. Okay, let's talk about some of the stars. One of the biggest stars coming to Vancouver, if this woman wins another award this year, I don't know where she's going to put it. Laura Catena is just being recognized all around the world. I just heard her speaking at an Old Vines conference, and she was awarded for her work saving Malbec vines in Argentina. We'll talk a bit about some of these stars coming.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of these stars that are coming are often on your show. So, it's a good way to connect with these people. Laura Catena will be at the festival. She's going to be in a trade seminar on the Friday morning, A Tale of Two Terroirs, and also on a seminar, The Global Crew, on Friday afternoon. And she is, we've been able to capture her on video. She is just a firecracker of passion and information. She was here a couple years ago when we were announcing that South America was going to be our theme way back in 2020. But, she's a rock star. And on the other side of the Andes, Aurelio Montes Sr. is coming for a couple of seminars as well.
Yeah, Aurelio.
Including your seminar on the Saturday afternoon that you're doing with Master Sommelier Evan Goldstein in a seminar featuring South American wines, La Crema de la Crema.
Yeah, Aurelio is a really interesting guy. Of course, he rebuilt that winery with a feng shui entrance to it. It's incredible what they've done. And then, you know, he opened this Kaiken winery in Argentina, and Kaiken is the name of a bird that flies back and forth over the Andes. And, of course, Aurelio has his own private license, pilots, and he flies his own planes back and forth through the mountains. I don't know if I would do that. it's always, the flight between Mendoza and Santiago is always a death-defying flight between wind and rain and whatever. But, it's interesting. And I've been looking at some of the other names of people coming, some new people coming to the festival, haven't been here before. You'd be surprised when you walk up to a booth and you actually meet the person who owns the winery. And you always have the best chats with them because, contrary to what you may think about these folks, they're farmers. They're normal people. And they have great stories. And they're as excited to meet you, their customer, who they don't know, as you are to meet them.
I'm almost amazed how the agent will tell us, oh, that owner will never be, you'll never see that person behind the table. But they get so, it's like an infectious spirit at the wine festival. And the next thing you know, whether it's Sam Neill from New Zealand or whoever, they're pouring wines for a trade, they're pouring wines for consumers. Yeah. And one of the feedback I get from them is that they treat it like a focus group. Because they spend a year going to all these big shows in Europe,
exactly,
dealing with business people. Sometimes it's really good to get a refreshing approach from the people who actually drink your wine and buy your wine.
And get away from the media. The media is the worst of all, says Anthony Gismondi. Well, let me tell you about your wine, buddy. No, I think it's really, I think it's great fun. And, you know, when you look at Vancouver, if you look at the growth of wine in Vancouver of 44 years, you just look at the wine festival and you see a starting point of zero and where people are today and what they know about wine, how they treat wine. And even though everybody says wine's in decline, it's all a bunch of baloney. There's a huge wine market here, underserviced by the government stores, but generally, you know, a market that's embracing wine, enthusiastic about it, and can't get enough information. So the festival for us, that one day a year, that one week a year shot, is really a shot in the arm for the whole market.
It's an exploration of authenticity of where wine comes from, made by authentic people from an authentic place, and wine tastes different from where it comes from. And we have 17 countries participating in wineries. In fact, we have a couple of wines from a couple of countries that have never been in the festival, including Brazil, Bolivia, Peru.
Nice.
And in total, we have 20 countries involved in the festival this year. I mean, it's an incredible exploration.
Yeah, and Croatia, Greek, like there's a lot of interesting little stories inside that room. Harry, we're almost out of time, so let's talk tickets. What do people need to do if they want to get in?
We have a great thing on the website called Festival at a Glance. Go to vanwinefest.ca. Get the Festival at a Glance. It's got the full schedule. It tells you what's sold out, what's not. You just click on the event. It gives you the details, the price. All our prices are all in, GST included, food, tips, ticket charges. What you see is what you pay for. We keep it really simple. Tony, and you're going to be in the tasting room, right?
Yeah, I'll be in the tasting room.
All these stars.
We're broadcasting for 3 days inside the tasting room, day and night, afternoon. I think I have to come in at 2 in the morning to do some interviews. But we'll get them all done, Harry. Looking forward to it. Get some rest. You're going to need it.
And I'm looking forward to all your interviews.
Okay. Thanks so much, Harry. Yeah.
Thanks.
Great to chat with you today. Folks, that was Harry Hertzshaag. He's the executive director of the Vancouver National Festival. Up next, Dan Mann joins us to talk about golfing and wine in Kamloops. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Hi, this is Anthony Gismondi with 2 minutes on how to track down that wine you enjoyed so much last night. Where can I buy that wine is a question I'm often asked because locating it is never all that apparent in our convoluted retail wine market with so many options out there. So where does one start the search for that elusive bottle? Well, don't forget to take a picture of the label. That will help. Then consider that wine is sold in numerous brick-and-mortar locations in BC, most notably government BC liquor stores. A recent search of bcliquorstores.com turned up 198 locations across BC, from Victoria and Vancouver in the south to Kelowna or Soyuz in the Okanagan and up north to Fort St. John. So there's likely one or more BC liquor stores in your town ready to serve you today. Private liquor stores are a great option. Liberty Wine Merchants, Jack's, The Angry Otter, Everything Wine, they all have multiple locations around the Lower Mainland and on Vancouver Island. Other one-off private wine merchants like Marquee Wine Cellars in downtown Vancouver, Vessel Liquor in Victoria, or Cask and Barrel in Kelowna are solid options too, with a knowledgeable staff and a wide selection of many hard-to-find wines. They can also suggest replacement wines that are similar to style of the wine you're looking for. Grocery stores are the latest to retail in BC, one of the most prominent players is Save-On Foods. They have 22 locations in British Columbia, and they offer the province's largest selection of VQA wines with over 1,300 SKUs. Plus, they have the best wine discounts when you buy four or more bottles. Who doesn't want to save some money? Your next choice is to go direct to the winery website and order online. It's a brilliant option, as often you'll find wine online that's only available via the winery website. And wineries have upped their game online since the pandemic. Most have become very efficient at processing your order and shipping it within days right to your front door. As a result, buying wine has never been simpler. For Gizmondi on Wine, I'm Anthony Gizmondi.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan, a perfect place for a spring road trip. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or our 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing spring getaway. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and highway conditions. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
From our Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gizmondi.
British Columbia, we're back, and a shout out to listeners across the province, from CFAX in Victoria to Radio NL and Kamloops on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're pleased today to be able to speak about many regions producing wine in British Columbia, and one of them, such areas is Kamloops and the Thompson Valley, home to a number of wineries, including Harper's Trail, Monte Creek, Sagewood Winery, and Privado, to name some of them. But along with the burgeoning wine region, Kamloops offers one of our favorite pastimes, at least for some of us on the team, and that's numerous world-class golf courses. Our guest today is Dan Mann. He's based in Vancouver. He's a serious golf enthusiast who's been playing in Kamloops since the 90s, and coincidentally, he enjoys the odd glass of wine. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show, and it's fun to talk about wine all the time, but it's also fun to talk about golf and wine because it seems to be a nice pastime for many people. A lot of golfers like to visit wineries. Let's start with you. What is it about golf that you love so much?
Golf is the pursuit of always trying to get better and never achieving it. So it's been something that keeps you going lifelong. No matter how bad you play, you want to go back the next week. There's just something enticing about it.
It sounds a bit like winemaking. You always want to get better, but it's really hard to achieve. So we already have something in common there. And someone told me that you got your first hole-in-one in Kamloops. Is that why you like to golf there?
It's now the main reason, because I played 40 years of golf until 2 years ago. And second to the last hole of my last trip in Kamloops, I got my first hole-in-one. So definitely big memories in Kamloops.
Yeah, our guest is Dan Mann. We're talking about golfing and wine tasting in the Kamloops area, the Thompson Valley. You know, when we talk about wine, Dan, then we always sort of drill down to appellations and talking about the land and the place and the people. How would you describe golfing in Kamloops? Because I imagine it's not the same as golfing here on the coast.
The beauty of Kamloops being just 4 hours out of Vancouver is you get a true variety of courses. You're going into the inland desert. It's like going to Nevada to play golf. So you have desert-based golf courses and lakeside, but you also get mountain tall tree golf courses and a true variety with a parkland style golf as well. So it's a fabulous collection of golf courses and even a premium the Open champion Louis Oosthuizen even ranks Tobiano in his top five in the world. So that tells you the quality of golf in Kamloops.
Wow. I didn't know that. Obviously you've played Tobiano.
I have played Tobiano. I've played it a few years in a row now, and it is probably one of BC's best courses. It has that resort style feel, but with a true challenge cut through the cliffs overlooking the lake. It's a real balance. And if you pick the right tees, it's open to all skill levels.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Well, one of the things that people can do is if you go to golfkamloops.com, you can check out, there's a number of spring packages for people who like touring and playing golf. So first of all, how hard is it to get on there? And the way that I look at it as a wine guy would be nice to play golf in the morning and go touring in the afternoon. Is that possible?
My first return visit to Kamloops a few years back was my significant other and I wanted to visit Kamloops, and we discovered we could get into golf and exploration packages in the mid-400s. It was a really good deal. Right. We were able to book golf through Golf Kamloops. They took care of everything, and we were able to play in the mornings and visit wineries throughout the afternoons. I did Monte Creek and Harper's Trail. Monte Creek was great because they actually have a sit-down restaurant, so you can do that as well as the wine tasting on the side. Mm.
And, I have to ask you, what kind of wine do you like, or do you have a favorite type of wine?
I actually like, bubbly sweet reds, like a Ristotto.
Oh, wow.
Good for you. I'm just that guy. Yeah. I'm more the... when I visit Kamloops, I'm more of the craft beer guy. They definitely have five or so craft beer options as well. So I've visited Bright Eye Brewing up there, and I can definitely recommend the beer and the dill pickle pizza.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the dill pickle pizza is something special if you're going to Kamloops.
Yeah. Yeah. I sort of sense that's a tough question for you. What about your favorite golf ball?
Hey, I'm a good old Titleist guy, to tell you the honest truth. Yeah, it's tried and true. Yeah.
You see, these are the commonalities between golf and wine. Everybody has a favorite, and they usually go back to it all the time, although we like to explore wine more often than not. Let's talk about some of these golf courses and we're perhaps exploring them. What other ones? We know we hear about the Dunes, much different than Tobiano.
The Dunes is it's an accessible, more public course. It's called the Dunes because every hole is lined with the taller dune-like mounds you'd see on links-style courses. There's some desert cut-in views, but it's kind of a links course in the middle of Kamloops.
Yeah,
it's very easy to play, I would say, skill level-wise, and non-pretentious, very public course.
Nice.
So the beauty of it is you've got those, and then you can get into what they consider premium with Talking Rock and Tobiano, where you can have a little more dress code, but a little more premium experience.
Yeah. One of the other places that offers these packages, Sun Peaks Golf Course, They have what they call an epic golf and wine getaway. Starts at around $500 a person, includes all your golf and room for two or three nights. Well, how would you describe Sun Peaks Golf Course?
Sun Peaks is a bit more of the mountain experience that takes you up into the hills. So you get more of that Kananaski Rockies feel with the mountains around you. Yeah, it's a little different being taken away from your standard city Parkland style.
Yeah, but apparently the ball goes further, does it not, at altitude?
Well, once you're at elevation of Kamloops, you can club down and feel better about yourself, that's for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I am a long hitter in Kamloops.
I don't have a lot of experience climbing mountains, but I'm wondering if the alcohol affects you at the altitude too. I'm sure it probably does.
It definitely can, and I try not to do it on the golf course because I actually, if I'm paying to play golf, I want to take it serious.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it seems to me that this is a kind of a fun place to set up for a couple of days. Even if you're in downtown Kamloops, there's a number of places on Victoria Avenue that you can explore, while you're there. And then you can head out to almost from there in any direction. You either hit a winery or a golf course in a very short period of time.
We've made it an annual destination in West Say. There's about 20 of us who go. Play a Ryder Cup style tournament. Last year we did Kamloops because you can get the core area of hotels right at the intersection of the highway and then be 20 minutes max to any of these courses to play.
Right.
And then definitely have your afternoons available. All the wineries that I hit were sort of in between those destinations.
Yeah, nice. I like that. And you know, for our listeners who maybe dabble in golf and wine, these packages also include tasting vouchers. You get a power cart and use of the range midweek, and then you also get these tasting vouchers when you're visiting the winery. So it's a really nice package that they put together. And it makes you explore wine. Maybe, Dan, if you jumped on those packages, you would be exploring different types of wine to drink, like some of the fabulous Riesling that's coming out of this very cool climate region.
Yeah, and they definitely have those. And I have sampled and tasted those. It's just my wine palate is not as good as some of the veterans in this case.
Well, maybe you have to do more golfing so that you can do more visiting of wineries in the region.
I like what you're thinking and throwing out there, and I'm going to definitely have to look into that.
And I guess last question, when can we start? Like, are the golf courses ready to go? Is it still too cold or too frozen?
Spring packages, I have seen the courses announcing that they are starting to open their doors in the next few weeks, I believe. So I believe golf in Kamloops is nearing.
It's nearing. Wash those clubs, clean those clubs.
Yep.
Dan, a real pleasure to talk to you today about both wine and golf. It's becoming quite a big part of tourism in British Columbia. Of course, it's been going on for a while in the Okanagan, but it's nice to talk about the Thompson Valley and the Kamloops region and the many different wineries and golf options available to British Columbians. Dan, thanks so much for joining us today. Really good to catch up with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. That was Dan Mann at the Dansome, as in handsome, at the Dansome on Instagram with some great ideas for golfing and dining in Kamloops. Well, that's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer here in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop. Welcome back, Dwayne. Assignment editor Sherry Caleb and director of operations Stu Ferguson. We'll be on the road for our first grape escape of the year next week. If you're on the island, you might want to check us out. We'll be at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan, Oak Bay Beach Hotel in Victoria, and Save-On Foods in Sydney. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi wishing you a great week ahead, and we'll catch up with you next week from Vancouver Island across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.